The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I always like to make a big splash when I come back by doing things and not being able to find the reading for a minute and a half. So anyway, you know, it's just I hope you're duly impressed. So there are some questions in life that seem obvious, and if you have faith, it feels like you don't even, what's the point of even asking the question, because you already know the answer. And if you don't have faith, it doesn't matter if you have the answer, because you're not going to accept it, you're not going to believe it. So either way, what's the point of asking the question, right? But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and ask the questions anyway, because otherwise, what the heck am I going to preach about? So here we go. And the question is this: why do we make a big deal out of celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family? And I say it's kind of like an obvious question, in the sense that if we have faith, the answer is not too difficult. Well, Jesus was God, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without sin, and Jesus and Mary, as the new Adam and the new Eve, were the two instruments that God used to bring about our salvation. And none of that would have happened unless Jesus was born. That's what Christmas is about. And therefore, it's totally important to us. Okay, there should be the end of the homily, but otherwise, I've got to keep talking or else I don't get paid. So that's if we have faith. But I think there's a couple of different reasons aside from the obvious one. Why do we celebrate the Holy Family? First of all, the Holy Family, we can say, was the perfect family. Again, it's like, Father, why are we talking about the perfect family? It's nice that Jesus had Mary and Joseph as his parents. I assure you, I do not have Mary and Joseph as my parents, right? And your parents are probably thinking, it's nice that Mary and Joseph had Jesus as a son, but they're looking at their kids like, no, something happened, okay? Whatever, they were born cute, they were cute for about 15 minutes, and then reality kicked in. They're not cute anymore, okay? Okay, this is the reality. However, the Holy Family is important to us for one reason, is simply they show us what we are called to be. When God, think about about this. Why? Think about how important families are to God, that when God decided, I am going to become a human being, he could have just appeared, fully formed, you know, 33-year-old version of Jesus. He could have just appeared like an angel, like they do in the Old Testament when they say, hey, Gideon, or, you know, St. Michael appears or does something spectacular in the Bible. Any number of times in the Old Testament, angels would appear. Jesus could have done one of those. He could have just appeared and said, boom, here I am. I'm about to save Israel. I'm about to save humanity. Watch this. But families are so important to God that he actually chose, I want to have one of those. And again, some of you are looking at your families and thinking, was he insane? No. He wanted to have one of those because of what the family should be and could be, and how beautiful it is. The reality is that family is an image of the Holy Trinity. I don't know, how many of you ever thought about that? The Holy Trinity is actually a family. It's not like the Trinity is based on the family. It's like our families are models of the Holy Trinity. Before God made angels or us or anything else, before the physical universe, anything at all aside from God existed, there was already a family. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not an exact thing because the Holy Spirit, to my knowledge, is not a woman. But anyway, and furthermore, the Holy Spirit comes from the Father and the Son. But nonetheless, we are based on the fact that there's a Trinity. And what does that mean? Well, what that means is God is about a relationship, relationships of love. He's not just there like some statue of awesomeness. You know, it's just like, well, I'm pretty awesome. I have all perfection. Why should I even bother creating anything else? But God is in a relationship. There's three persons of God, and each one of them love, and in each love, we can say, I've got a theologian here, so he can correct me. Don't turn me in to the theological police or anything, but we can each say that each of the persons of the Trinity loves in a different way. Even though they're all God, they're all totally 100% the same nature, you could say. Theological terms, I know. God doesn't have nature, but you get where I'm going. But nonetheless, because of their relationships, there's a difference. And our families are based on that. When God made us, he could have made us like the angels. Angels, by the way, do not have families. Angels, they don't have families. I'm sorry. There's no mama angel and daddy. I know, you're flabbergasted by that fact. Okay, this is the theological content of St. Peter's. Servers who don't know that angels don't have families. Did you know that every angel, by the way, is its own? It's not only do they not have families, each angel, and there's like trillions of them, is its own species. It's true. There's no species generically of angels. The only thing you can say is that they're all just spiritual beings. Each one is its own unique species, and God made trillions of them. Okay? We're not like that. God made each one of us, and we do have the same nature. And in a certain sense, you can say we are made more in the image and likeness of God than angels are. We are made more in the image and likeness of God because all three persons share one nature, and they're in a relationship, and they form a family. And God, when he made us, he didn't just say, I want to make you so you, individual, cool person, can be holy. He said, I want you to be holy in relationships with other people that are just like you. And that means the family is a school, is meant to be a school. Sometimes I think it's a school of, you know, like the devil's school or something. The family should be, the family is supposed to be a school of holiness. It's a school of love. And you think about it, okay, the way that a husband loves his wife is different than the way the wife loves the husband. Similar, they're united, but it's different. Guys think different. I assure you, we recognize that women think different than we do, okay? It's just the way it is. Okay, the way a parent loves a child is different from the way a child loves a parent. The way siblings love one another is different from the way they love parents, etc. It's also when you have multiple families and you have like a neighborhood, that's where friendships start to take place. And each one of those friendships, it's a different kind of a relationship. Each one of them, when there's authentic love, each one of those is one dimension of the love of God. So the love of parents for children is one dimension of God's love. Children for parents is another dimension of God's love. The love of friends for one another, the love of people who, when a boy meets a girl and they fall in love, with all of these different authentic versions of human love are simply little windows into what the heart of God is. And God is the one who encompasses all those different kinds of love to the max, to the fullness. So when we celebrate the Holy Family, really what you could say we're celebrating is the celebration of the fact that God made us in His image to love. And therefore, the Holy Family is not just about the fact, well, isn't that nice if they're perfect and my family stinks. It's a celebration of the fact that God made me to love. God put me in a context and surrounded me in a setting where I can flourish in love. And if we want to succeed as a family, then the only way to succeed is not going to go around demanding your rights and getting mad. My mom gives me a bad attitude. No, it's not. It's going to be saying, how can I love? How can I forget about myself a little bit, die to myself a little bit, and seek to love the people around me? We're coming up on New Year's. You want to make a great New Year's resolution? Forget about your diets. Okay? You're going to give up on it in 48 hours anyway, so you may as well not even go there. Forget about giving up on chocolate, or even forget about, you know, Instagram addiction or whatever. You want a worthwhile New Year's resolution that is going to pay serious dividends and will actually make you happy, and will make your mom happy, and frankly, if your mom's not happy, you'll never be happy anyway. So it's win-win. Okay. Something that's going to make serious dividends is this. Let's focus on how can I love the people that I live with. That's a tough one. So, I'm giving you homework. I'm going to come back next year this time and check on you. If I see you all have daggers out and everything, I'll know that it didn't work. This year's resolution, starting now, starting tonight, when the clock strikes 12, this is going to be, I sound like a hippie now, this is going to be the year of love. The year that we learn to love our family members. If we do that, we will be like the Holy Family. And someday people will look at you and will celebrate the feast of your family. May Father and Son and Holy Spirit, Amen.